This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, Automotive Aftermarket. It's Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. I'm with Turbo Tim's. That's the name of the garage, the shop out in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Two shop operators. Tim Suggs is with us. Hello, Tim.
Hi.
And Rachel Gruwell. Did I say that right, Rachel?
You said that right. Yes.
She grew well. Can't you see how well she grew?
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Shop owners for about 17 years now.
Oh, God, I'm old. I'm getting old.
So part of what I want to accomplish in this interview, and everyone knows the fact that I love to find a message in every one of our episodes, or at least a storyline that we can tell. And this one's about having fun. And I don't know about hitting the grind each and every day and, you know, getting up and saying, oh, we got to do this again, over and over again. But it seems like you guys get up and you go out and say, what could we do today to even make it crazier than yesterday? It just seems to me.
We definitely try to figure out new things, think of new things to make it just a little more interesting.
Hey, plan to be at Apex 2023, October 31st through November 2nd. Apex will build upon the incredible success of Joe's Garage, a full 10-bay working environment. If you earn your living in the auto service aftermarket, then Apex is for you. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. When I first talked to Rachel, I went to the website, turbotims.com, and the first thing I saw was a black graphic of a cat. I said to myself, ooh, this is interesting. And then I went to all the pictures that you have online in your Google Business piece, and I saw the cat trees. And I said, it's right out front in the showroom.
The cats definitely help with marketing and branding, but it's not what we're all about. I worry about that too much. Just like, I mean, there's 7 cats at this shop, 4 cats at the other shop, and it's a lot of cats, but definitely it helps for branding, but it's not what we're all about.
Okay, so it's not for branding, but how many cats do you have inside the business?
Well, I have my own office cat, which I finally wanted because, you know, Rachel, she's mostly at the Northeast shop, and everyone, that's kind of our flagship. Yeah,
flagship.
That store's been around the most, but we kind of ran out of, you know, I never wanted an office, so it kind of just grew that way. And as it's grown, like, I kind of need an office. And so we finally bought this place in St. Paul. It's like a 30,000 square foot building with like 2 levels. And I finally got my own office. But then I was so sad because, like, I'd go over to the Northeast shop and, like, everyone's got their own cat, like, right by them. And, like, they're just working with a cat and it's super nice. And so I decided I need there's 6 cats downstairs, but we don't really let them go upstairs because this place is so big. And so I decided I was going to get my own cat. So, yeah.
I'm going to make an assumption that you don't have a mouse problem.
No mouse problem here. Yeah, Tim is all secluded up there on that second level all by himself. He was so sad he had to have his
there he is.
Tim, are you a details guy? Are you a micromanager?
No.
Okay.
I let it go.
Because I would be worried for you that you're so far away from the action that you'd be having a nervous breakdown or something.
I go up and down. And I am, yeah, trust me, I'm the least detail care about the details person ever, but
that's why he has me.
Yeah.
Rachel, are you the general manager of the place then in a role?
Well, Tim and I are co-owners of the businesses. For a while I was general manager, but we've promoted a number of managers up to work on our leadership team. So now Tim and I are both in the ownership role. We're kind of doing visionary integrator, although it's not super clear how that works out all the time. But we're a team. We work together on the growth of the business, new acquisitions. We work with our leadership team on the branding, the expansion, the training, the hiring, the mission, the values, you know, all that stuff.
Are you completely where you want to be? Is it a work in progress, or do you have a major project like picking your purpose or values right now?
Well, we just recently had a leadership retreat. Tim and I had kind of come up with something, maybe more me than Tim, but kind of. And we were working off that. But when we realized we wanted to work with a leadership team, we decided to do a retreat. And we brought everyone together and we discussed what we had and what could change. And actually, we added fun as one of our core values that was not on the list previous to that retreat. It became very clear to us that fun was one of our core values already, and we might as well put it on the list. So,
yeah, it's funny. Like, I made the vision statement, or Rachel made the mission statement. And initially, like, when I read it, I was like, this is too Rachel. Like, it was just like, there were so polar opposites, our vision and mission statement. And when we had this leadership group, like, we really, like, we had unity as one of our core values, and we changed that to community. Originally, it was care, unity, and trust. And so now, you know, those are all great things, but it didn't fully feel like it was what we all were around here. And so when we sat and did our leadership meeting, we decided community, fun. What do we got, Amal?
Trust, community,
and care.
Care. And then we added fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was really good to, like, finally get those all in aligned. And it is neat. I mean, it feels good to, like, make decisions based on that and kind of know, like, where we're going with that, and have, like, basically our leadership team, like, on board with making all those decisions. But yeah,
it's fun too, since we've done that. Two on our leadership team recently did an interview, and without us prompting them at all, Tracy, our HR finance manager who was on the interview, was like, kind of ticked all the boxes. Trust, community. They talked about their community engagement. They were fun. They had fun socks on. You know, I mean, it was just really nice to see that, like, already these managers on this leadership team are using those core values as they were, you know, doing an interview with a new candidate. So that was fun.
I am so interested in retreat. And I'll bet you that my listener out there, our listener, says, hey, give me an idea of what that's all about and how you did it and how you picked it. Did you go off site, off campus? Give us a little background as to how I could hold a retreat.
Well, first, I was thinking very big, like Tim likes to do. And I was looking for an Airbnb house in the Twin Cities where we could go somewhere fun on a, I don't know, something extravagant. And then I thought, you know what? Let's check out the local library. So we went to the library down the street. Actually, the library I grew up going to when I was a little girl. And they had a big, beautiful boardroom that was available on the date that we wanted for the full day. And then we started thinking about what food we would need. And then it became clear that we needed an agenda. And for me, less is more. I tried to incorporate a lot of breaks in that retreat and just some really focused, like, 45-minute sessions to talk about each thing that we needed to go over, which was, like, our core values, our mission, our vision, you know, what's the future for the shop, and then what is our marketing strategy. And then we took a break and went to lunch, and we walked outside, you know, to a different location, which was nice. And yeah, we had fun.
That day was great. That was about the fastest a day could go by. It was just, it felt like we were doing stuff the whole day, and it just, in no time, we were finished. And we were doing stuff the whole time, and there wasn't, like, we had enough time, but not too much time. Yeah.
I love your 45-minute segments. That's kind of cool, because you realize you got to get to it, because a lot of times you can ramble and get nothing done. What day of the week was this?
It was a Monday.
It was a Monday. So you were open, but your leadership team, of course, could be taken away for that whole day.
Yep.
Yeah.
I let everyone know on our Slack that I was taking the leadership team away for a, what did I call it? Escape room type situations. So don't expect to be able to get a hold of anyone. And I don't think anyone called. I don't think we had any interruptions, anything along those lines. So it was good.
You just said you use Slack to communicate with your people.
Yep. Slack is our primary internal communication system. Mm-hmm.
Lots of channels on that Slack channel.
Sure. I can imagine that.
We actually have a Slack channel that says, what Slack channel should I post in Slack? No, we don't. But someone was joking about that because we have too many Slack channels. But
I love this. The outcome of that retreat was you came away with your core values, or was there more that you came away with?
We did core values. We looked at our mission statement to make sure it looked right. We made a few edits to it. We edited the existing vision statement. we did our 10-year plans. We talked about how many shops, what kind of areas we're looking to move into, what types of shops. Oh, we did our, if you can't tell, this is all very, very much aligned with, what's it called? Traction.
POS.
Yeah, those ideas, those concepts, POS, yeah.
Technically, we didn't do our 10-year plan because I don't know. We were having a hard time looking forward to, or like looking, like we want to do 5 by 2025, but I just don't know after that what it's going to feel like. And originally I thought maybe I would want to do more, but I think 5 by 25 is going to be, you know, I want to do more stuff. I got other stuff to do. And I think when we get to 5 and we really start getting those running like ultra well, I bet you that's where we'll sit.
Okay, so you're talking about 5 stores, not 5 million.
No, 5 stores. Our one store does almost 5 million. This year, our goal for that store is 4.5 million. And next year, our goal for that store will be 5 million. But
so 5 stores, 2025, it's 2023. So that means you would be adding 3 stores in 2 years.
Yeah, we're closing on another store in June 6th. We actually this weekend just looked at a pretty neat store that I kind of liked. So we're trying to look at as much stuff as we can and just be ready when the right opportunity pops up.
If you went to Apex 2022, then you realized the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional. Joe's Garage is your place with 10 working bays as you experienced real live working conditions. Also, the best tech companies from tools and repair to management software had their latest and greatest for you. You also attended technical and business management training with the industry's best and brightest. Now, work is underway to make next year's Apex 2023 have even more product demos, trending training, marketing, and social media support to help you grow your sales and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening as we bring you the latest from Apex 2023. Save the date, October 31st through November 2nd, 2023. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Are you looking at already established businesses or?
Yeah, we're starting to do that now. So we opened the second store and it was a Goodyear that had, they basically redesigned University Ave. They put a light rail in so that Goodyear kind of just pulled out when they were putting the light rail in because they basically had no entrance for a while. And so they pulled out. And so this place sat vacant for like 6 years. And so we ended up picking it up from there. And I mean, it was a lot of work. I mean, I like it. I enjoy the stuff, but it's definitely, you're spending a lot of time just getting everything aligned, doing all your building stuff. This third store we're buying is just a 7-bay store and it's turnkey. It's got employees, got good equipment. And yeah, the fourth store we looked at was, they don't mention selling the business, but they're selling all the equipment and such. And so I don't really know if the employees will come with, but that's good because we ended up recently promoting someone to just be a hiring, recruiting, training specialist. And so he's going to move to our leadership team because as we've been growing so quick, like employees are really the one thing we need to focus on. And so we kind of have amped that game up. We just started using Team Taylor. It's like a recruitment, like it keeps track of all your interviews and employees, and we kind of like that. And yeah, now we're getting, and Taylor's actually his name, Taylor, we're getting on board with Team Taylor. So it was like a match made in heaven for that guy. He gets to use his own software. But you know, when I was writing service, like I'm so bad at it, I'm just gonna say that, like I was so bad at it. And so it's good to have Taylor, like, on paper, I think I could maybe answer some questions right, but like, I can't write service. And Taylor is just like we've set up these procedures, these policies, and Taylor just like does them to the T. He's so good at it. And
I have to say though, Tim is ASC certified service writer.
I am.
Certification. Yep. So I think you probably do know how to write service.
Well, yeah, just... but now we got such a good team. Our team is just like,
yeah, our team is much.
They're really good people.
I think more than anything else, the amazing part of being at this point in the business is that we're able to promote people who are so much better than us to do the things that we were scrambling to do before this point. Like Tracy, our HR finance manager, I am a highly educated person, but numbers to me, I see a screen of numbers and my like eyes roll back in my head. And she is like, okay, give me numbers. I can synthesize. I can put them in a spreadsheet. I can keep track of them. I'm like, please, I will pay you very well to do this because this is not my skill set, you know? And then we've got Taylor with the hiring and yeah. Well, and then beyond that, we work with a lot of coaching companies and trainings ourselves. So all of our service writers get the appropriate training within the industry and all that too. So we're hoping that everyone who's working with us is going to be better at what they do than we were. Because at one point it was just me and Tim basically doing everything.
Yeah.
And we were doing too much and we weren't doing it super great. And now it's going much better.
There's a ton of people out there that can relate to what you guys are saying. You know, the old hard knocks learning curve, all the wisdom finally came in and you got to be the size that you can literally delegate a lot of the things that you weren't good at. And what's so interesting about that is when you can do that, the company gets better for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It really does. 100%. It really does.
Yeah. I don't think they would let me sell stuff these days. So
you get off the counter.
Yeah. They're like, nope, Tim, get out of here.
She sold like maybe a year or two ago and you did a good job.
I did all right, but I could do it. We can all do just about anything, you know, which is nice. All of our leadership teams where we've kind of specialized folks, they've all written service. Most of them have actually wrenched too. Tracy's wrenched, Martin's wrenched, Taylor, not so much, but I mean, they all know how to get under a car and do some work too. So it's nice that everyone's kind of well-rounded, but now they're in their specialty area. If that makes sense.
Have they been with you for a few years?
Yeah, I feel like everyone on the leadership team have been with us at least 4, 5, 6 years.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't want to jump on board and get a coach, but I know I'm jumping all over the place, but we were talking about coaching earlier and it's crazy. Like, I know it's an expense to get a coach, but I think it's more expensive if you didn't get a coach. And I think a lot of people don't know that. That's when we really we actually have two coaching companies we work with now. And I mean, training is huge for us, like for us, for our coworkers, like that's what makes you better. And it's like so important to our growth.
You're singing my praises to my choir, Tim, and thank you because the industry needs to hear what you say. And I hope with what you just said, we convert a couple of more people over to the fact, number one, training needs to be an important, critical, strategic pillar in your company. It has to happen for every position, including yours. And my coaching is something that is like so critical. Many people end up being able to pay for their coach within the first 3 or 4 months of doing business. And what they don't realize is that those changes in the financial position, better ops, better procedures, better systems, better HR, all of that pays dividends a long time. And they say, well, once I obtain my original monies, then now coaching costs me. Okay, why don't you stop for 5 years and see what happens?
We took a break for about a year. We got a little overwhelmed. We had our second child. It was just like,
I don't even know if it was a year. Was it a year?
It might not have been.
It seems like a couple of months.
But so quickly, I was like, Tim, we're not on track. Like, we need that. Like, we're not growing. We're not doing things differently. We're not looking into how we can improve. It just became status quo again. This is what we need as owners. I was just reflecting to a friend today that in this position, there's no one holding me accountable. I mean, Tim and I kind of co-hold each other accountable, but not that much. And having a coach in a coaching group is a situation where I have a team of peers that are holding me accountable and coming up with new ideas and encouraging each other and all these things. It's really important.
Rachel, you bring up such a great point. You realize you needed an accountability partner. If everyone just stops to think about what coaching really is in business, I don't think it's any different than in sports, where this individual is looking at the strengths and the weakness of their player, be it a golf person, be it football, you name it, swimmer, and they're looking for their God-given abilities and they're trying to frame and shape what they teach them to do, okay? And now you excel because the coach saw some greatness in you and pointed you in a direction. As long as you were willing to accept that, work on it, then you would get better. Do you find yourself doing all of that for your people?
We're not good at holding people accountable, and that's why we're trying to find better leadership team.
We are getting a lot better.
We're learning techniques, I think, of just, you know, if you have, it's easier to hold someone accountable in like a, not a group setting, but like two versus one. That's a little bit easier. Just little tools and tweaks over the years to just make stuff work better as far as accountability.
The other piece for me that has been really useful in like other areas of my life and here is this idea, this notion of mutually agreed upon guidelines. And that's what EOS promotes too, is this idea that let's come up with the core values together. Let's talk about what your job description is together. Let's write it together. Let's make sure everyone completely agrees to all of these guidelines. And therefore, when you step outside of them or you're not meeting them, I'm not saying you didn't follow my rules. I'm saying, hey, I'm checking in with you. What we agreed upon, it doesn't look like you're doing it anymore. So how, you know, does this need to change? And that just, it shifts the whole perspective around like, you're not obeying my rules versus we came up with these together and you agreed to them. So we're just mutually holding each other accountable here.
Makes all kind of sense. Now, Tim will follow in line now.
Yeah. I can't top that.
Come on, Tim, you can do it.
You embrace the community. And I have to say that in doing this 8 years and doing shows on community, I'm overwhelmed with what's going on your website. I think I counted 30 different graphics from different community organizations that you support, even if it's the softball league and you have your, you know, 4x8 in the end zone or whatever it is, you're doing things for the community. But the topper, it looks to me, is Lyft Garage.
Yeah, that's been a big part. I mean, there's many other aspects, but yeah, when I started my shop, I started it because I wanted us to, a bunch of my friends to have a place to work on our cars. But, you know, not knowing anything about auto repair, I just thought I want to help people by being the cheapest around and just fixing as many cars. That's why we've generally have bigger shops, because we kind of went through this mindset of like do high volume at low cost. And that works to some point, but we learned that you got to run really fast to make any progress. And so it's kind of hard to do that. And unfortunately, as we started getting to like where a normal shop should be price-wise, I kind of like lost a little bit of touch of like helping those clients. And I've always talked to Kathy and been really close to her. And when she offered a chance for me to join the board, I just thought it was awesome. And it's so cool to be inside that board because they're an auto shop also, and they are working with the same basic ideas as we are, but it's fun to see like they're at such a beginning stage of like what a good auto shop is. And I'm able to like bring like a lot of my experience of stuff I've learned along the ways into the Lyft Garage to make the Lyft Garage better, which has been really neat for me. But because yeah, it's really just a bunch of nonprofit people running an auto shop. And so there's been like no training for them. And so I've gotten them to kind of start to get on board that maybe training's good. And just kind of working with a plan for technicians to kind of have like an incentive pay. And yeah, because right now it's like the technicians, they really have no incentive. The business doesn't make more money if they fix more cars at this point. Like, and that sounds weird. And so there's, because it really doesn't. It's all donor fed. But there is an incentive for us to fix more cars at the Lyft Garage. And so I've kind of been like working with them to really figure out like, hey, how much does it cost a donor? And can we do this faster? And can we? And it's been fun to just work inside an auto shop in that stage and just work with everything.
Rachel, I think what we need to do is to really kind of nail this for our listeners so they have an idea of what we're talking about. Clarify.
Yeah,
I can't nail anything because I'm just all over the place.
You did great, Tim, but I just don't want to get done with the episode and have our listeners say, so what the hell is Lyft Garage, right? It's a non-for-profit repair facility for hardship cases, I believe, right? Low income. And you're providing guidance on the board. Are you providing any kind of facility for them?
It's kind of broken into two buildings. They were kind of had a little bit of fear of expanding. Again, it's that same thing. Like if we fix more cars, we don't make more money. It just costs us more money. And so I was like, well, hey, I'll give you a great space. You can try it out. You can leave whenever you want. You can stay if you want and just see how it goes. And so it's given them like an opportunity to like just see what it's like to have another shop, learn like what are we going to need? How are we going to do certain things? And so that's been, a good way to just kind of kick them to keep trying to do better and trying to fix more because there is a huge need. There's such a huge
need. Yeah, what's the wait list right now, Tim?
I mean, they open their appointments one day a month and it fills up within like an hour. And so it's just,
How do they qualify low income?
20% of federal poverty guidelines.
Does somebody have to prove that to them?
Yeah, if you have like a food stamps, that would basically be like a qualifier. Yeah, and there's other things.
But there's a few different ways. They have social, like educated and certified social workers on their staff to work with folks that come in to help them figure out how they qualify. So, you know, we've wanted to do this type of work in the past, and we found the burden of being able to determine who qualifies is such a challenging thing. And while our employees are really compassionate, wonderful people, they're not social workers. And a lot of folks coming in, they need to talk to someone who's trained to discuss what services and things are provided and what other options are out there for them. And so this felt like the best way for us to support an organization that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah, we should even back up before that. So we have Community Automotive, which is kind of like our low income auto repair. And so we've been doing that for a few years. And what winds up happening is we're dealing with such two different customers. Like the people in low income are just, they're dealing with a lot different stuff than, you know, a normal paying customer. And so it was hard for our service writers to just basically, you know, go from one customer to the other. And because the needs are just so different. And so we're trying to navigate that ourselves, and we were running into a lot of difficulty. And so we've also been working on a program with the Lyft Garage where we're actually there checking the customers in, and we're kind of figuring out who's doing the inspections. But the gist of it is we'll end up doing the repairs. They'll deal with everything as far as that side goes. And so we can continue to do good work, but we can do in the areas that we're really good at, and they can do the other stuff that they're really good at. And it's just hard. I mean, the Lyft is such a good company and they're doing so many good things, but you look at their reviews and their like reviews are like, they're in the like threes. It's like terrible. And like, and it's just because, you know, the people are just, they're dealing with a lot of stuff and it's just, it's hard. It's a lot harder than traditional auto repair.
Yeah, you're working with people who are dealing with really challenging life experiences. Some people are living in their cars, so the amount of time it takes for you to fix it is the amount of time that they don't have a place to sleep. You're just, folks are in a place where everything's challenging. And even though they're getting this support, it's a hard place to be in. And so having, you know, social workers on board to talk to folks and help them out is really important. It's very hard for us at the volume and the how much work we're doing at Turbo Tim's to have someone dedicated to have the longer conversations over the phone or direct people to different services and things like that. It's just, we found it's been easier for us to support this organization that does, like Tim said, is really good at what they do.
It's kind of like as you grow as a business, I had to do everything. Turbo Tim's was trying to do everything. I had to do everything and I wasn't doing everything good. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of learned a lot from that. It's kind of...
So you distanced yourself, but still stayed extremely intimate with it.
work on our strengths.
Yeah, we found the appropriate role to play, I think. Yeah.
And we're still working that through on the Lyft Garage side and on the TurboTim side of what is possible, what can we do, and where can we help.
God bless you for all that you're doing. I am sure you are providing one hell of a benefit for certain peoples that need a vehicle in order to get to work. Safe and reliable transportation. I'm sure you wouldn't let anything go out that wasn't right.
That brings up another point. When we fix a car at TurboTim's, we're using the best parts. They're the most expensive part, not always the most expensive part, but you know, you try to get a quality part. When you're working on the Lyft or at the Lyft Garage, you're just trying to get the cheapest part. And it's, again, it's a totally different mindset. When you're doing inspections on a car, I mean, at TurboTim's, we look at everything and we let you know everything that's wrong. At the Lyft Garage, I mean, you kind of just have to get the car going, because even if the car could be totaled because it's got so much work, it might be someone's house and they need to fix that. And so you have to totally look at it from a different set of eyes. And so that's why it's easier for the Lyft to deal with that. Us do the repairs.
Got it. You're going to ensure that it's done right and there's no shortcuts taken, because God help it, you wouldn't want to have anything like that on your conscience.
Yeah.
Let's just finish the thing off about all the community events that you participate in, all the decorations that you do, live bands, artists, free stuff all the time. Rachel, is this your wheelhouse?
I guess so. I mean, to some extent. I have a little artistic flair in me, but Tim and I both forever been interested in art in the community and been opening the doors of TurboTim's to the art community in different ways, either painting a mural, you know, hosting their art events at our shop for free.
Comedy shows. We keep doing a lot of comedy shows up here. I love having comedy shows right up here.
I have to mention Kevin, who's our marketing and advertising director. He's pretty much, talk about delegate and elevate. He has pretty much taken over most of that event planning for me now. I mean, I work alongside him, but he's got a big event coming up for us at the end of May with, I think we have like 13 or 15 artists, 2 food trucks, 2 bands, a face painter, a magician. Tim's going to crush cars.
Don't forget the coolest part. I drive my army truck over cars.
And we're going to have a massive crowd. It's a free event. So that's going to be really fun. And Kevin has organized it all. Thank you, Kevin.
And it's been cool watching that event grow.
So explain to me, is this just to have fun, or are you raising money?
So Minneapolis has like a thing called Art a Whirl, and they basically, in Northeast Minneapolis, they open a lot of shops, artist shops will open up their shops and you can walk through.
Yeah.
And, you know, one year I was like, man, let's just crush cars and just, you know, just do something fun.
No. I know this story. So our friends were folks that got their cars repaired at TurboTim's, were also artists. And they said, hey, Tim, you know, this Art a Whirl thing, could we show our art at the shop? Tim was like, sure. So they set up all their art, and Tim had this massive military truck. I don't even remember why you bought it. You just thought it was cool. And you were like, I'm going to crush a car right now. And everyone was like, yay! And you crushed a car. And then everyone took photos on it, and they spray painted the car, and it was so cool. And then it was like, okay, well, now every year Tim has to crush cars with this military truck.
Yeah, that event has just gotten so big over the years. It's crazy from what it originally was. I forget, like, Joe and those guys just like wanted a place to show their art, and it's kind of cool in an industrial auto shop. And
yeah.
Then it just kept growing and growing and growing. And it was so stressful when it was me and Rachel just doing it. And now it's nice that it's not us.
Yeah, we have a team. Just us. We have a team of people putting it on.
It's because you're integrated into the neighborhood. Is that why? It's all around you. So you've made sure that you were part of it.
Right. Yeah. It's not our own event. Art a Whirl exists within the neighborhood. And we were in the neighborhood, and we said, well, let's participate.
Well, there's just so many things to learn from what you guys are doing. I could find a million takeaways from all the great things you've talked about. Helping community, being engaged in the community through Art a Whirl. That's cool. I love that. Do you ever display art on the walls for artists all the time?
We have art in all of our shops. Yeah, local artists.
Could someone buy the painting or sculpture or whatever is on display?
Oh, anything's for sale for enough money, but...
Not at this point, but we have talked about having like a rotating gallery of folks where they can put up their artwork and have it for sale.
Because that showroom is beautiful. In one of the places, which location was that?
I think you were looking at the northeast location. There's like a nice...
Cat trees are in the front, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful place. Go to the website, turbotims.com. Check it out.
You know, on Google, you can do Street View. You can actually go inside our building, and we have so many hidden Easter eggs. If you go in, I mean, there's just so much cool stuff that over the years that just like all adds up to like all the cool stuff we've done. But yeah, definitely check that out. I've said this before, but like when I first started the shop, I was like, I got to act exactly like an auto shop acts. Like that's how you succeed. And then I got to a certain point and I was like, I get to act like however I want, and that's going to really make us succeed. And so we kind of just do everything we want to do our way. And we try to be part of the community, and we try to just be super relatable. Like we have cats, our one shop has chickens. We make an amazing garden at one of our shops, and there's just get into stuff that people like and people want to be a part of. And I think that's what's, you know, it's not so much about the auto repair anymore. Like we can do good auto repair and we keep trying to improve that. But really it's like people just want to like relate to us and just be a part of us, because we're people too. And we're doing cool stuff, and we got the resources to do a lot of cool stuff and show people it.
This was a fascinating interview. So much to learn from you two. And I guess one of my biggest takeaways is be different, be yourself. Wow, this was so cool. Rachel Gruwell and Tim Suggs, owners of Turbo Tim's multi-shop operations in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Thank you so much for sharing your great story with us.
Yeah, thank you, Carm. We really appreciate you asking us.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.